I think mental health and any kind of mental health symptom or illness, yeah, I really look at it as kind of a side effect of either some sort of, you know, underlying self-infection or toxicity, some sort of chronic inflammatory response, nutrient deficiencies, genetic. Of course, then there's the whole psychology, psycho-emotional kind of esoteric side of things. It really takes that whole holistic lens to conquer it.
You're listening to the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, your home for holistic, evidence-based cognitive enhancement strategies. And now your host, Eric Levi.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, where we discuss holistic lifestyle cognitive enhancement. My name is Eric Levi. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner and the founder of HolisticNootropics.com. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Brendan Vermeyer. Brendan is a functional medicine consultant, clinical researcher, board-certified holistic health practitioner, master nutrition coach, master personal trainer, USAW sports performance coach, and CrossFit certified trainer. He began his career as a personal trainer and nutrition coach at the age of 19 after disappointingly being medically discharged from the United States Navy SEAL training pipeline due to an injury. After being exposed to the power of functional lab testing in the start of his career, he began intensely pursuing that as a career path, which has led him to be widely regarded as one of the top leading experts in metabolic health and holistic education. He is the proud owner of the Metabolic Solutions Research and Education Foundation, a not-for-profit foundation dedicated to advancing our scientific understanding of chronic conditions while educating health professionals and clinicians with cutting-edge strategies to best serve their clients and patients. When he's not educating doctors, practitioners, and professionals, helping clients overcome their most severe health struggles, or producing cutting-edge scientific education, Brendan enjoys all things fitness and is probably working out. He also enjoys anything in nature and any activities that expand his heart, mind, and soul. You can find Brendan on Instagram as the Holistic Savage, and we got into all things holistic health. We discuss holistic practices that can help boost your mind, boost your cognition. We talk about organic acids. We talk metabolism. We talk methylation. And I know you're going to love it. Super interesting guy. And he is offering training to really practitioners on these different holistic principles and actually getting better at interpreting these different functional tests. So he doesn't work with patients and clients anymore, but he's worked with so many that he's now able to train other doctors to help them bring these foundational health principles into their practice. So really, you know, by association, he is helping thousands of people, which is such a cool deal. So again, check out Brendan on Instagram. Also check out his website. I'll have all the links in the show notes at holisticnootropics.com/podcasts. Now, real quick before we jump into the podcast, if it is your first time here, please remember to hit the subscribe button right there in your phone, your podcast player. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please remember to leave a nice review if you enjoy the podcast, or if you're listening to this on any other podcast platform, leave a review there. And if you do love what we're doing here at Holistic Nootropics, again, holistic lifestyle cognitive enhancement, please head on over to holisticnootropics.com. Join our email list so that a couple times a week you get our messages about new content we put out, new videos, blog posts, podcasts, and all the news in the nootropics world and any little tidbits that I find around the internet that I think can help you improve your brain cognition. So with that, everybody, enjoy my conversation today with the one and only Brendan Vermeyer. So you're the Holistic Savage. Maybe we could start off by talking about where that came from, what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have fun with it. I like to not take myself or life too seriously. And I really got into like bodybuilding in my, you know, late teenage years, kind of early 20s. And, you know, I was always a very like scientific, evidence-based type of health professional that just so happened to do some bodybuilding on the side. And I really didn't want to be associated with like the bodybuilding demographic and that whole crazy world. And so I was just trying to think of some kind of, you know, moniker or avatar. And so Holistic Savage kind of came to mind. I was like, oh yeah, that's perfect. Cause it's like, you know, savage and fierce, but also like holistic and woke and zen and everything. So here we are today, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you could be aggressively holistic. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's the duality of it, you know, the yin and the yang, right? Kind of that perfect balance. So
yeah, you know, because the holistic people get a bad rap. They're like, oh, you know, you're just drinking wheatgrass and, you know, meditating here and there. It's like, no, sometimes we like to ball out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Want to mess stuff up, you know, throw some heavy weights around, do whatever you got to do. So yeah.
Yeah, we all have our inner meathead. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. You know, little bro science has its place.
I love it. So you have a practice in Kansas, and you work a lot with health practitioners, but you also have worked with on the client side as well. You do a lot of gut practitioner. What am I trying to say? Like gut science, gut health stuff. And I think that's so interesting because, you know, at Holistic Nootropics, what I try to discuss is not so much, you know, we talk about nootropics, but it's really about how can we connect the mind and the body? How can we really emphasize the importance of things like gut health and the role that it plays in optimizing your brain and optimizing your focus and your mood? So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I honestly, it's been a wild ride. I started my career 10 years ago as a personal trainer and nutritionist. And so exercise physiology and nutritional biochemistry was really my background. And when I first really started getting into the functional medicine space, at first I kind of thought I was at a disadvantage because I don't have a medical license. I'm not a medical doctor, naturopathic doctor. But over the years, I really discovered that's not really entirely true because I've spent my whole career, at first it started as really studying human performance, you know, metabolic performance. And then before you know it, you're kind of moving into like, okay, well, what disturbs performance? Well, any kind of dysfunction to your metabolic health. And then before you know it, you're starting to creep deeper and deeper into studying basically disease. And so I think whereas physicians, they really kind of start on the other side of the spectrum where they're studying a condition, whether it's like IBD or neurodegenerative disease, and they're studying the physiology of the pathophysiology, but that's a very different thing than studying like optimal cellular health and how to move to it. So it's been crazy how really navigating my own health crisis and the health crisis of some loved ones, you know, here I am today and I, you know, create courses on like mold toxicity and gut health and how this is all connected to mental health. But, you know, mental health is absolutely what I'm most passionate about, having struggled with chronic depression or ADHD and previously medicated and living in a moldy home. So I think that's how we all kind of get into this industry, right? Is we have our own health crisis. And a lot of times we might get feel like we're sort of let down or kind of fall through the gaps of conventional care. And so that's where we seek out those answers on our own. So it's been a hell of a ride, tell you that much.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you know, myself included, most functional practitioners I know absolutely did start. It came from a health crisis. It came from, and I'm guilty of disparaging, maybe to a fault, you know, the mainstream medical apparatus or whatever you want to call it. And I think it has its place for sure in every respect. But I believe it takes a functional practitioner to really help keep people out of the doctor's office, you know? And that's why I love the study of mental health and depression and nootropics because, you know, we've seen it over and over again. Like yourself, you're talking about dealing with depression and you had to actually do the research yourself. Well, I'm living in a moldy home, you know, I've got gut issues, you know, what's up with my diet? What's up with my environment?
You know, I was just doing a webinar yesterday, and every time I give a lecture or a webinar or whatever, I always like to kind of set the stage with some different statistics. And, you know, one of the comorbidity statistics that came from a Medicare beneficiary report in 2010. So already 10 years old, but it had this beautiful chart that really shows the comorbidity of some of the top chronic conditions, including depression. And it really showed that, and these were people that were diagnosed with depression. And of course, you know, so many people are struggling with mental illness that are not ever formally diagnosed. So, but nonetheless, this report showed that only 10%, less than 10% of people diagnosed with depression only had that one condition, whereas 90% of these people had at least one other chronic condition and about 40% had 5+ other chronic conditions. So, you know, you just look at it scientifically or through systems biology or whatever way you want to look at it, you know, I would really argue depression and mental illness is really more of a symptom symptom, a side effect, than it is so much a condition. And absolutely, in my opinion, the only way to really completely ameliorate or overcome any kind of mental illness is through a very holistic, integrative approach.
That's interesting. Depression as a side effect. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, you just start digging into it and it's like, you know, I absolutely think there's a time and a place for allopathic medicine. You know, I wouldn't be alive today without conventional medicine. So, you know, I will admit when I was a little bit younger and I got into the functional space, okay, maybe a little bit rambunctious, fired up, and maybe even a little bit less matured and kind of this like, well, you know, conventional medicine sucks and it failed me and whatever. And it's like, no, I mean, conventional medicine is brilliant in its own way. But you just look at the fact that the chronic disease pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's completely an environmental and lifestyle driven pandemic. And you start actually studying neurochemistry and psychology, psychiatry, and it's like, absolutely, this is a holistic systems, you know, failure. Of you start getting into topics like methylation and all the B vitamins necessary to run your neurochemistry, but then of course, oh well, a lot of our vitamins are synthesized from our gut bacteria in the gut, and oh well, then you have leaky gut and you have you know, an overgrowth of toxigenic mold that nobody ever told you about. So it's just like, before you know it, I think mental health and any kind of mental health symptom or illness, I really look at it as kind of a side effect of either some sort of, you know, underlying self-infection or toxicity, some sort of chronic inflammatory response, nutrient deficiencies, genetics. And then that's the physiology. And of course, then there's the whole psychology, psycho-emotional kind of esoteric side of things with trauma and the neuroplastic model. So it really takes that full holistic lens to conquer it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's an example of how multifactorial is. I mean, you just named off in 20 seconds, you just named off, I mean, 10 different reasons why you could be experiencing this feeling of depression. I mean, then you throw thyroid issues on top of that. And then, I mean, the big one is inflammation. And, it, you know, you start going down the rabbit hole of inflammation and you've got a whole new world of possibilities that could be the trigger or the problem. And mold, especially, I mean, the more I learn about mold, the more I have to pull myself back because it makes me so angry just due to the fact that I don't know what to do about it. You know, that's like a thing that's like, well, what do you, the only thing you can do is either just burn your house down or move or spend a lot of money to fix that problem.
Yeah, it's such a big one. And, you know, a lot of people do kind of know me for, you know, the mold conversation. And certainly I don't ever want to be like one trick pony, but I think mold is such a huge, huge etiological factor that is so misunderstood, so overlooked. You know, I feel like there's a lot of functional practitioners that are pretty astute to, you know, gut bugs and parasites and running all their stool testing. But I find mold and underlying, you know, toxic mold infection or colonization and the resulting toxicity and the resulting inflammatory response, I think it's way more common than people realize. And the, you know, mold illness and SIRS is kind of becoming a very popular topic in the functional medicine world, which is great, but I feel like there's a lot of sensationalism and kind of this, oh, you know, the horror stories, right, where you have people just crippled in a wheelchair and deathly ill. And it's like, sure, that does happen, and that is an awful thing to work with or experience, and I've been through it. But I would say for every one of those cases, there's probably at least 9+ other people that it's more subtle, right? Like, who hasn't lived in a water-damaged home, or who hasn't had water damage to their home or their office? So it's so prevalent and so overlooked.
Yeah. And I think that's a testament to just getting out to different environments, to nature. And then when you kind of breathe fresh air and you know that feeling of like, well, this is how I'm supposed to feel. You know, I'm supposed to feel good when I'm at the ocean and the air is clear, or in the woods and the air is clear. And then when I go back to this moldy room, it's like everything just feels like there's like a dark cloud hanging over me. And you're right, to everybody it's different. The mold situations are different. To everyone it's a different degree. And the problem is this jump to have to fix it now. I've got to have the problem fixed right now. And then you go to the doctor. And of course, when you tell them that you're experiencing these thoughts and these emotions, of course, they're going to say, well, you've got depression and here's the medicine that's going to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How it started. I was living in a moldy home with my, at the time, fiance, so ex-fiance and her children. And it was so remarkable. At the time, I was a personal trainer, nutritionist. I didn't know anything about mold or methylation or parasites or any of this kind of functional medicine stuff. But, that's how I got here today is through that experience where, looking back, it was a very musty old home. We did have a bathtub overflow while we were living there. And it was a very, very distinct morning where just one day she woke up and just ice pick pain and kind of her trapezius area completely locked up. And it was a very definitive marking point to what just became this just downward spiral. And we did all the things, right? We went to the conventional medical doctor, blood work looks fine, there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe you need to do intercrystal vestibular therapy, chiropractic, physical therapy. This MTHFR thing related neurotransmitters. Here's, high dose methylation supplement. So it's like, that's how I got to it. And I've been, trying to crack the code ever since, but it's so detrimental. And whereas conventional medicine, well, they are astute to like a fungal infection, but they almost never even look for fungal infections like ever, even if you're complaining of IBS or GI symptoms, which could very well be a fungal overgrowth in the GI tract. Well, what happens? Maybe you get sent to a gastroenterologist, but then they're going to scope you. And if there's no, visible damage to the organ system, they're not looking for fungal overgrowth, let alone, mycotoxicosis, which is kind of the mold toxicity that results from it. That's just completely not acknowledged at all by conventional medicine, even though they use clinical grade, pharmaceutical grade mycophenolic acid, one of the most immunosuppressive mycotoxins. They use it pharmaceutically as an immunosuppressive agent for organ transplant rejection surgery. So, we've studied mycotoxins in the 1970s for biological warfare. So it's just horribly ironic and a shamefully ignored topic where, okay, so we've studied it for biological warfare. We use it as an immunosuppressive pharmaceutical, but it's not a real thing. It's all in your head and you just need to be medicated with an antidepressant. And that's what everybody gets told. So it's just disgraceful.
Yeah. And you're talking about fungal growth in the gut. And what a wild, curveball that is, because here we are spending so much time with the microbiome and understanding gut bacteria and how important it is. And then you have the interplay of fungus. And, when it comes to something like candida, and this is something I'm still kind of figuring out myself, which is, we've had a war on candida in the mommy blogs for, 5-6 years. It's like, you can't be a mommy blog and not have an article about candida or a video about candida. But then when you really dive into the literature, you can't just eradicate your candida. It's necessary. It's a natural function of the gut. But then it's like, to what extent do you need the candida? What's it doing? And then you start to understand the connections that the fungus has to the brain and how that interplay works. And then the bacteria is modulating the fungus modulating the bacteria. And what do? We give someone an antibiotic, and just say, nuclear bomb it all. Just let it all go. And then we're surprised when neurological issues pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And antibiotics or antifungal drugs can be extremely helpful at times. But, our understanding of the microbiome is very much in its infancy. And I really feel that today our technology has surpassed our understanding, because you see all these practitioners heavily relying, on DNA PCR stool testing. And I say this out of experience. And, I would argue stool testing is very, I think it's pretty misleading. I think its clinical utility is relatively limited, because, we have these tests that we can measure the DNA of all these different strains and bacteria, but we don't know what that means when it comes to, what this ecosystem should look like within us. Everybody has that different ecosystem. So all the fungi, or, now we're talking about the virome and everything. So microbiome, virome, exposome. So it's just all these different phrases. But yeah, absolutely. You know, we are more microbe than human. So you start looking at, okay, what are the principles that we do know about how to have, you know, a healthy garden of life within us, whether that's sinuses, the skin. You know, there's nothing sterile about the human body. We used to think the blood was sterile, and it's not at all true. There's lots of dormant bacteria floating around in the bloodstream. So, you know, these microbes have such a tremendous impact on everything about our health, especially mental health.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, you can, like, I know in myself, I can directly track my mental health to my diet, you know, mm-hmm. and to the things that I was feeding the garden, you know, when it was processed foods and bagels and McDonald's. And it was like just hardcore anxiety and never really like hard depression, but definitely, you know, depressive feelings compared to when you start cleaning up. And it's not perfect. Of course, you have up and down days. You have to just kind of roll with the rhythm of life. But man, like when you start introducing those principles to people and you start helping them, you start understanding that food is more about calories and about, you know, the pounds on the scale. It's about what you're feeding these microbes and this fungus and how that interacts and the way you make yourself feel. When you feel good, then you want to do more to do better with your health. Mm-hmm. And it's just a feedback loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool because, you know, And this is, again, where it's been such a fun journey of not having, you know, some of the more traditional kind of medical school stuff drilled into my head, because I've been a little bit more free to look at things from different angles. And I think looking at things through like a systems biology or kind of evolutionary context, it's like we are of the earth. You know, we have spent, as a species, we have spent the majority of our time on earth, you know, digging around in the dirt and not in sterile environments at all. And, you know, the further we get away from nature, the further we try to kind of do the whole germ theory and sterilize everything, the more unhealthy we get. And so we're just now kind of starting to see the scientific literature sort of catching up with what should have always been just intuitive common sense. But we, I don't know, our monkey minds, we get so disconnected from nature and truth. And so it's like, yeah, all those microbes, I mean, we need all of those to be metabolically healthy. And so we have to learn how to nourish that garden. A lot of it just points us back to living a more natural way, getting away from all the chemicals, the pesticides, closing ourselves off in our little, you know, pseudo caves that we live in. So, you know, it's a beautiful lesson to teach us to reconnect with the natural world.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you'd mentioned a couple times so far this idea of methylation, and I'm so fascinated by methylation. It's so complex, it's so hard to understand, but it's so important. And you know, I have this thought, okay, and see if you can follow me here. But the keto diet is also very complex. Like ketosis, the idea of ketosis is very complex. And you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, only it was kind of a fringe thing, and now you have moms in Long Island doing it. Right? They're trying to do keto. They're blowing up their Instagram. And I feel like if we could do the same thing with methylation, if we could make like the methyl diet, not the meth diet, with the methyl diet, if we can do the methyl diet or really instill this idea of the importance of methylation, I feel that can be a game changer for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, with methylation, which I made a whole course about, which I never would have thought I would be doing this, you know, all grown up and everything, because the MTHFR and methylation conversation, you know, when my ex-fiance and I were trying to figure out what was wrong with her, they, you know, did standard blood chemistry, but for whatever reason, they included that little MTHFR. And all the conventional doctor said was, hey, you have this genetic mutation. It is involved with your neurochemistry. So we'll make you this, you know, special compound nutraceutical. It might help alleviate some of the cognitive disturbances. So that really kind of launched me down that rabbit hole of methylation and nutrigenomics and all of that. And it is so fascinating. But again, I think it is sensationalized. I think, you know, there's so much that we don't know about it. And of course, it's really just one biochemical pathway out of infinite biochemical pathways. So I think, you know, we have to humble ourselves a little bit, but there's a lot of good principles that we do know. And I definitely think it has shaped the way that we think about, okay, well, we've got that genetic blueprint, and then we love to talk about epigenetics and, oh, well, you know, genes are your blueprint, not your destiny, and all of that good stuff. And it is true, you know, and methylation is really how we turn on or turn off all these different genes. So it does become a pretty important conversation, especially as, you know, the prevalence of these methylation mutations in our genes, you know, are becoming more and more common, where the majority of people do have faulty methylation pathways. And then, of course, a lot of those B vitamins come from the gut microbiome. So before you know it, you're getting into this conversation about genetics and microbiome and the whole lifestyle. But there are so many great dietary principles to help with optimizing those pathways.
Yeah. And it's amazing because, unfortunately, so many people are B12 deficient. And, you know, blame it on the low fat diet or plant based or whatever it is. I mean, there's people who are omnivore who are B12 deficient, you know, and that, again, that could be a genetic thing, could be a dietary thing, but it is such an important nutrient to get along with the other methyl donors, you know, choline, betaine, getting your B6. I mean, it's amazing that, and this is, I think, also, you know, kind of where I butt up against a lot of the nootropic heads, you know, where it's like, well, just throw a B vitamin supplement at it and throw another, you know, multivitamin at it or throw this nootropic. And it's like, well, no, you know, you can over methylate too. You can do too much of it. And without really understanding, like you said, your genetic blueprint, I mean, I was talking to a genetic expert, Penny Kendall Reed, in a previous podcast, and we were talking about this stuff too. And it really is a fine dance. It's a Goldilocks zone. And it takes a nutrition master, and even the nutrition masters don't really understand this. So it is just an ongoing process of learning and understanding the science behind this. Hey everybody, just wanted to take a second to break away from the podcast to tell you about my favorite pre-formulated nootropic stack. That is MindLab Pro. I look at MindLab Pro kind of like a nootropic multivitamin. If you're a nootropic newbie, this is a great nootropic stack to start with. Even if you're an experienced nootropic user, maybe you've been putting together your own kind of different stacks using different nootropics together, and maybe you've hit a plateau, maybe you just haven't found the one that works right for you. Maybe you found something that worked right, and then you try to pair it with something else, and the whole thing kind of fell apart, and then that original nootropic doesn't work for you. MindLab Pro is pre-formulated. It's made by scientists, so they actually pre-formulate it with the right amounts, the right ingredients, 11 research-backed nootropic ingredients, by the way, that are proven to help boost your cognition, your memory, your focus, your mood, all those benefits you look for out of a nootropic, especially a nootropic stack, you're going to get with MindLab Pro. You've got acetylcholine, which is going to boost your acetylcholine production. It's going to boost dopamine. It's going to boost your focus. It's going to boost your memory, your processing speed. You've got phosphatidylserine, which is going to help you with nerve growth factor. It's got glucose metabolism enhancement. You've got the modulation of the HPA axis. It's going to help your energy levels. It's going to help your mood. It's going to help your stress levels, which is so important. You've got Bacopa monnieri. You've got rhodiola, an amazing adaptogenic herb. You got one of the most popular nootropic or holistic nootropics out there, lion's mane mushroom. You're getting that nerve growth factor, literally growing new brain, promotes healthy brain cell function. So many amazing benefits from lion's mane. You've also got things like maritime pine bark extract, and of course, N-acetyl L-tyrosine, which is going to help boost dopamine levels, and of course, norepinephrine levels. So if you need a boost in mood, if you're dealing with some depression, if you just need to be a little bit more lively, let's say you're kind of falling apart going out in social situations, assuming you're breaking your social distancing, you're going out, you need a little N-acetyl L-tyrosine. And then of course, one of the classic great nootropics, L-theanine. Hit that alpha brainwave, get into flow. If you're trying to pair something with coffee to take the edge off a little bit, or if you're just getting rid of caffeine in general, L-theanine is a great nootropic amino acid. And then you have the cofactors, the B vitamins to help really put everything together, B6, B9, B12, you know, it's like you can have all these amazing nootropics together, but if you don't turn on the fire, if you don't stir the pot, that's what the B vitamins do. They help get everything together so that it's metabolized, it hits your brain, it works the way it's supposed to do. Right now, we have a deal with MindLab Pro directly through holisticnootropics.com. You get 3 months of MindLab Pro with an extra fourth month for free. Just go on over to holisticnootropics.com/MindLab Pro. Again, holisticnootropics.com/MindLab Pro. Get 1 free month of MindLab Pro with the purchase of 3. You can't beat this deal. The nootropic multivitamin MindLab Pro, my favorite. Okay, let's get back into the podcast.
Absolutely. It gets super finicky because, you know, biochemistry, talking about all this chemistry going on within individual cells, and it's happening, you know, every second of every single day. And as soon as you, you know, take a bite of some folate rich food like dark green leafy things, or you take that multivitamin, you know, assuming it's all getting absorbed properly and delivering to those cells, and okay, well, what genetics and what enzymes do you really have, and how quick are those enzymes working? There's just so many factors. And then, of course, you start looking at all the different things that will disrupt the function. You know, even if you have the substrate, you have the cofactors with the vitamins and minerals and whatever. But then, you know, you have all these different toxins or, you know, different microbe-related toxins like polysaccharide or acetaldehyde, whatever it is that will disrupt the function of that enzyme. So, you know, to your point, it becomes a very complex dance of supplying the nutrients, feeding the bugs, getting rid of bad bugs, detoxing, you know, nasty chemicals. So, you know, it's not at all a perfect science. And that's where I think sometimes in the functional medicine industry, they kind of map it out as if it's just this math equation of, okay, faulty enzymes, or just, you know, this dose of that B vitamin and it all goes away. And no, it really, that's where people have to learn how to be in tune with their body of, well, they can tell when they need a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, but it's a constant management.
Yeah, that's where things kind of get a little hairy when you start getting the functional medicine doctors taking an allopathic approach to supplements, where it's like problem, solution, problem, supplement. Mm-hmm. Before you know, I mean, I saw a functional medicine doctor on the Upper East Side of New York City, and I was just blown away. I've never spent more money on supplements in my entire life. And it was just problem, pill, problem, pill, problem, mm-hmm. pill. And before you know it, it's like, well, the same thing happens when you take too much medication. Now you've got a whole new world of issues you're dealing with, and you need a supplement to counteract that supplement. And you're right, it's all individual, and we need to be mindful of that.
Exactly. Yeah. I, you know, anytime you see conventional medicine doing something that we also are really big fans of in the functional world, like, okay, it obviously must be important. So I like that conventional medicine is doing like MTHFR and some of this genetic stuff more. But I see this, and it's kind of the faulty, like if some is good, more is better, right? So if they do test you positive for like MTHFR, you know, their standard of care is to immediately throw this, you know, very high dose methylation cocktail at you, which, you know, then you can cause, you know, methyl trapping or over methylation or whatever, which can be so detrimental and hurtful to some. So I see too much of that just kind of faulty logic. And still, you know, I think functional medicine is still way too reliant on just throwing pills at a piece of paper. And that's not a true individualized approach.
Yeah. Especially when you consider, like, if you throw so many things at one person who has all these problems, then how can you truly test if that thing actually worked? You know, because now you've got, mm-hmm. okay, well, something worked. I have no idea. I loaded you up with $1,000 a month of supplements. So right. Let's just keep going down that road and see what happens.
Yeah, it happens super commonly. I had this dude come to me because of, you know, his mold concerns. And I kid you not, I think he was probably on about 45 different supplements, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I love supplements. I take a ton myself. But yeah, he was spending about $2,000 a month on supplements. I mean, you name it, he was taking it. And he still felt awful. So I simply asked him in the consultation, I was like, so how's that working for you? I mean, like, clearly not very well. So why don't we do something different?
Yeah. And I'm in a lot of these biohacking circles. And I mean, I had a conversation with this guy at the beginning of the COVID thing. And, you know, he was like, Eric, I need your help. Do you know of any good nootropics or supplements for the lungs? And I'm like looking around, and I'm like, actually turns out melatonin is a decent supplement for the, I mean, I wouldn't just blindly tell somebody to take melatonin for that, but turns out it is. And he's like, I need something. And I'm like, well, what are you taking right now? And this guy messaged me so many pictures of just supplement, like not just one supplement, multiple supplements. I mean, supplement after supplement after supplement. I'm like, why are you taking all that stuff? He's like, well, because I'm a biohacker and I want to be healthy, but I'm also a chain smoker. So I don't know if that hurts. I'm like, yeah, that's probably not helping you. I could say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm all for kind of this, you know, holistic functional revolution that's kind of going on these days. But just like anything, we do a lot of silly stuff and, you know, biohacking and functional medicine. I think a lot of times you see people, they're looking for something external when, you know, they really need to be looking more internal, right? You know, they'll chase all the fancy supplements or do every lab test under the sun, anything to avoid having to like look within and deal with their own kind of psycho-emotional trauma or whatever it is, right? So people are very good at sort of deflecting. It's like, oh no, the reason I'm not well is I need a 50th supplement. I need that new fancy lab test, right?
Yeah. And it's amazing too when you consider the effect that stress has, just stress alone, right? So it's like you're taking all this stuff, you're like, I still feel bad. And then you just have this inner sabotage going on with stress, you know? And sometimes it's maybe your problems can be solved by picking up a breathing exercise or a meditation app or, you know, just not looking at your phone for the first hour of the day or something. So, you know, cortisol really is a wrecking ball that can sabotage you.
Absolutely. The orthorexia that we see in the functional medicine space is pretty atrocious, where people are getting super orthorexic, super neurotic. And that's kind of the biggest thing I always preach. Like, you know, I love the physiology, biochemistry, and I love being able to, like, sure, with some intelligent supplementation or lifestyle intervention or dietary intervention, whatever it is, you know, you can make some dramatic progress very quickly. And it has nothing to do with, you know, your self-belief system or whatever. However, I'm starting to see that pendulum swing too far, where you have these people, you know, they kind of window shop from functional medicine to practitioner to integrative physician to holistic health coach. And they're just window shopping and bouncing from practitioner to practitioner. And it is this very orthorexic, like they are obsessive and neurotic about, you know, being perfect with their autoimmune paleo diet or being perfect with their, you know, 20 supplements that they take, and they're just stressing themselves out. So I always have to kind of kindly hold up the mirror and like, hey, do you feel like you're maybe stressing yourself out a little bit, trying to be perfect with your protocol? And how do you think that stress is really serving, you know, your goal of trying to get well and heal? Because yeah, stress is kind of undermining to the whole process.
Yeah. And I've been there, guilty. I had this, I did my first organic acids test and I came back not high, but like elevated on the candida number. And so I was like, okay, well, perfect excuse to experiment with some antifungal stuff, right? So I hit up the antifungal company and I get their, you know, their gold, their platinum, you know, antifungal plan. And I mean, to pull this thing off, it's the antifungal drops. It's the bitters before you eat. It's the charcoal in the middle of the day. It's a probiotic at night. And I mean, I had so many timers. I set so many timers on my phone. I would eat, or I would take the drop, set the timer, eat, set the timer, take the drop, set the timer, take another thing, set the timer. I mean, I was setting like 5 or 6 timers a day just to be like on. And by the end of it, I was like, what? I'm just driving myself crazy now. Now I've got new issues that are up in my head from just trying to keep up with this one protocol. So I totally get it.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you know, spike that cortisol, suppress secretory IgA, and then, you know, all the fungi or bacteria, whatever, it'll just start growing opportunistically while your immune system shut down. So yeah, I think, you know, we definitely are good at driving ourselves crazy. And sometimes I feel like in functional medicine, we're kind of better at creating problems and solving them. So I think we have to check ourselves and be a little bit more mindful and not overcomplicate everything or not stress ourselves out chasing this science that is very, very imperfect at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, we're really just, it's everybody's different. And sometimes when you're working with a client, it's to help them understand, like, look, the difference between between holistic treatment and, you know, Western medicine is, sure, when you go get whatever pharmaceutical drug, you're going to feel that instantly. This is going to take potentially a couple weeks to several months for you to really feel the difference. I have a client of mine I was talking to yesterday, and, you know, we're going through the whole, he's in New York City, he's locked down for COVID, he's been locked down in his apartment for 3 months, and I'm like, so how are you feeling with everything? He's showing me some supplements he's taking. I'm like, I'm taking this, I'm taking that. And then I'm like, well, how do you feel? He's like, oh, I feel okay. And then I'm like, well, how do you feel like physically? He's like, well, I've lost 10 pounds. And I'm like, you lost 10 pounds? It's like, yeah, you know, I've been just exercising during this whole thing and, you know, keeping up beat. I'm like, that's a good thing, man. You're nailing it. What else do you need right now? You know, like, kind of suddenly comes in that it's working. It's like, before you know it, 3 months down the line, it's like, man, I'm sleeping better. What? I don't know how that happened. Or it's like, you know, man, I just, like, I don't get those anxious thoughts after I eat breakfast anymore. So, you know, it really, holistic treatment really does kind of slip under the radar, and you have to be mindful of it. And as soon as you get it, you're like, wow, it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super subtle. And, you know, that's kind of the big thing. It's I don't know, it's kind of like gardening, or, you know, I have a lot of plant children in my apartment. And, you know, you learn a lot of good lessons by taking care of a living organism like a plant. But it's like, if you don't nourish the plant right, you know, it's not getting adequate sunlight, it doesn't have, you know, nutrient dense soil, you're not watering it frequently enough, whatever it is, it starts getting pretty droopy, sad, yellow, it's starting to die, really. And it, you know, it's not like, oh gosh, like, oh, I haven't watered it in 3 weeks, so you can't just, like, drown it all of a sudden or stick it out in the scorching sun and it doesn't, like, fix it overnight, right? It's no, you have to nurture it accordingly for weeks on end. And as those cells are multiplying and regenerating, well, then all of a sudden you have a healthy, vibrant plant again. So, you know, people don't really think about their bodies that way. And of course, people are so out of tune with their body, because it's not like any of us are really taught growing up how to know how to really be in sync with our bodies or listen to it or be able to understand all the signals. And so that's where, you know, any symptom is really just our body trying to communicate with us, which is why I think, you know, practitioners or, you know, clients or patients going through a protocol, they really need to be kind of keeping an eye on their symptoms daily, or keeping a journal so that they can, you know, notice those at times more subtle changes of, like, oh man, I drank a beer and all of a sudden that really flared me up, versus, or, you know, so health journaling and just mindfulness in general is so crucial and kind of step one, any sort of healing program.
Yeah. I use a food and mood journal. So, you know, it's a real interesting practice to have people connect the food to the emotion. You know, they don't realize that it's like, how come, you know, at 2 o'clock every day, I feel this sense of depression. And it's always at, like, this time. Well, you know, 12:30 is when they eat their bologna sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. And then when that comes in, you know, all the blood comes out of the gut, there's a stress that comes in. And then it's like, you feel down, you feel brain foggy, and you feel depressed. And again, it's you're not making the neurotransmitters anymore. You know, you've sabotaged that system. And it, not to make people feel guilty, but I mean, it is what it is. It's a hard truth. And it sucks to have to change your diet sometimes. But when you start to make those connections, like, oh, white bread makes me feel brain foggy, bologna or processed meats, or even, like, you know, Kraft single cheese, you know, makes me feel anxious or tired. So yeah, the mindfulness part is totally a huge element of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love lab testing, you know, that's my life is lab testing practically, but, you know, lab testing is so imperfect in itself. It's this, you know, very imperfect snapshot of a moment in time. And, you know, no matter how much lab testing people do, it'll never be able to replace their own mindfulness and getting in tune with their body. And that's, of course, too, that's the difference between, I think, some of these physicians versus, like, a really good, you know, holistic health coach or something, where, you know, teaching that mindfulness, and rather than, okay, here's the question, and then the, you know, dictator clinician gives kind of this black and white answer. It's like, no, you need to teach people how to think and how to be in tune with their body. So, you know, I get, you know, clients and people texting me and, you know, picture their bowel movement, or like, Brendan, you know, my gut doesn't feel good today. Like, what? Why? And it's like, I have no idea. Like, do you think I know what's going on in your gut right now? Like, what did you do? What did you eat? What changed? Right. So you have to challenge people to think about it a little bit, because it's like nobody's going to be able to figure that out for you. You have to, you know, kind of put it together yourself by paying attention.
Yeah, the photo roll of a holistic practitioner, just full of all kinds of. Don't let anybody see that.
Yeah, you can get all sorts of interesting things. There's nothing off the table anymore.
No, keep it all on the table. It's going to be a little dirty, but it is what it is. Exactly. So you use the organic acids test, which I use that as well. And I think it's an amazing test, to really understand. You know, sometimes you can kind of break it down, and those things that people are telling you, the way they feel, you know, you can look at the neurotransmitter markers, or you can look at the candida, or, you know, I've been really into the oxalate markers lately, mm-hmm. and just kind of understanding like, oh, okay, so if you're having these skin issues, the skin issues come also with these anxiety issues or these depression issues. Well, there's no better representation of that sometimes than on the organic acids test.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's a very valuable assay. Certainly there's no perfect lab test, but blood chemistry and organic acids, those are just kind of the two staples for me. There's a lot of great tests out there. There's new tests hitting the market every day. I think the organic acids, it's very cost effective, right? You know, for like $300, you get, 76 different metabolic markers and all these different metabolites and indices related to, microbes, neurotransmitters, and mitochondrial function. So I think it's a very bang for your buck test. And I think it does a good job identifying different patterns or contributing, factors that otherwise would be completely hidden, especially when we're talking about, things like mold, which I don't know of any stool test that looks at like aspergillus in the stool or anything, but whereas, organic acids, there's lots of different fungal markers or some of the downstream patterns. So yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I have a course in organic acids, and I think it can provide answers for a lot of people that otherwise just, are being told it's all in their head, whether, chronic fatigue, neurodegenerative disease, fibromyalgia, any kind of mental health disorder, any kind of GI disorder. I think those people should absolutely do an O test, maybe like once, twice a year, just for monitoring their health.
Yeah, it can be very revealing, to mm-hmm. people who have been in and out of the doctor, and they're like, they're saying my blood works fine, what is this feeling I have? And I also love the mycotoxin test. You're talking about to find the mold, but the GPL, the toxin test to see what environmental chemicals you're exposed to. When I did that myself, it was so crazy because I live in Puerto Rico and people shoot off a lot of fireworks here, and I'm on I'm kind of on a higher floor, and I got a balcony and overlooks the city. And throughout Thanksgiving to New Year's is a big time here, and people shoot off fireworks all throughout the night, but not that much. And then on New Year's Eve, it's like from 11:50 to 12:02, it's like, thousands of fireworks go off. The sky is different colors. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then I take the GPL tox test, and I had whatever that chemical is that's in fireworks specifically was just through the roof. It was unbelievable how well it correlated. So, sometimes when people see those numbers and they go, oh yeah, I do live next to a gas station. So I'm getting that, I forget the name. I'm not good with the names of the chemicals. They're very science-y.
Oh, they're very, they're very, very tough.
But it's like, oh, well, see, so this is a thing that could be contributing to your anxiety or to your feelings of worry, especially to your feelings of stress.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And something I'm like these days, there's in the functional industry, it's such a broad array of professionals. You have medical doctors, naturopathic doctors, chiropractors, acupuncture, dietitian, health coaches, biohackers. So it's a very diverse space. And so I always like to educate people with, lab testing, there's really kind of two purposes of lab testing. There's more the clinical and kind of the the coaching or compliance standpoint, because, you know, a lot of the lab tests that people are using, are they like really clinically necessary? Maybe not. I would argue most lab tests are not clinically necessary. I mean, certainly there are times where I think like an O test or, you know, mycotox or whatever can be like, oh, okay, so now we know like this is probably the major thing contributing. But like, you know, the GPL tox is a great example where, or a gluten test, for example, where is somebody really going to take like detoxing their environment that seriously if they don't have any objective evidence to see like, oh, this is a real thing that's contributing. So, you know, I love that test just from a, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You can really show somebody like, hey, you know, you have these extremely high levels of toxic chemicals coming out of your body, which means you're getting exposed. And the best thing you can do for your health is, you know, work on cutting down that environmental exposure. Let, you know, swap out your cosmetics or get you an air filter or whatever it is, because, you know, you can do all the detox and green juice cleanses you want, but if you never do anything about the environmental exposure, like, you're never going to get well. So, you know, using some of those tests can be a very powerful coaching tool to get somebody to take that stuff seriously.
Yeah. Addition by subtraction, right? Sometimes it's necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have, just kind of wrapping up here, you have a really interesting course that you work a lot with practitioners, which I think is so valuable because, I mean, as a practitioner myself, I'm always looking for new people to learn from, new perspectives, you know, and mastering these different, you know, understanding the lab tests or understanding mold toxicity or understanding Lyme. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the different courses you offer for practitioners and maybe a shout out to, you know, how you work with clients if anybody wants to work with you, kind of that platform.
Sure. Yeah, I really appreciate that, Eric. It's been a passion project where I'm a board advisor for a big group of practitioners. And, you know, a while back, they really asked me to make them an organic acid course because it is kind of hard to find a lot of training on some of these things out there. So, you know, started out, I just wanted to build an organic acid course, but organic acids covers so many different aspects of metabolic health. It just became so much more than that. So I created this course that was like over 40 hours long. And so we actually just got done breaking it into three separate courses of mastering mold, mastering organic acids, and mastering methylation. And certainly, you know, those are kind of the technical subjects, but mental health, huge. You know, methylation is huge for mental health. Mold is a huge contributor. Organic acids, very valuable. So those are the three courses I offer. And we're actually about to get started with a small group mentorship where we're taking a small group, 10 practitioners, and training them for 6 months. But I do a lot of clinical advising, so I don't really work with clients as much as I used to. Mostly I like to consult with professionals, you know, and help them with interpreting their lab testing or conducting the investigation process, building protocols. So I've really just kind of found that working with professionals is what I'm most passionate about. And maybe I've just done so many client cases for so many years that, you know, it gets a little exhausting after a while. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we have our website where people can learn all about the courses and our clinical advising services and our podcast and all that. So it's a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, the more practitioners can get this information in their hands, and then, you know, you're not working with clients directly, but I mean, you are influencing, I mean, countless patients because you're informing their doctors, you're informing their practitioners, and then they're passing that knowledge on to them. And ever since I've learned about the oat tests and methylation and how to optimize, you know, neurotransmitters through these different tools, it's a game changer for me. It's a game changer for the people I work with. And I'd imagine it's a game changer for the people that practitioners you work with. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we are kind of our own best teachers and everything. So, you know, it was like growing up, I think I struggled with depression at a much earlier age than I realized, but I never really knew what that was. And, you know, I wasn't diagnosed with depression or ADHD until I was 21 years old. And at one point on four medications and living in a moldy house. So it was things like, it was through healing myself and my loved ones around me that, you know, I kind of learned all this and did my own stuff. Now I'm actually leading a research project, kind of like a human clinical trial. But, you know, whether it's gluten sensitivity or underlying mold or gut bugs or nutrient deficiencies, it's just there's so much great science out there that's just not common knowledge. So I think it's a very exciting time to be in this industry. And there's such a huge demand for more health coaches, more functional practitioners, and functional personally minded physician. So it's a great time to be in this space or get in the space, and especially with some of the chaos going on in the world today. My hope is that we just continue to see kind of this explosion of interest in holistic health, because people want to feel good and, you know, they deserve to feel good. So yeah. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, this is a fun little stat or whatever, fun little fact to kind of end things on. But when this whole COVID thing happened, it was very interesting because I like to use Google Trends, and you can see, you know, on Google Trends, you know, what people are Googling, right, over time. And man, in March, the spike that I saw on the search phrase homeopathic medicine was unreal. I mean, people were just, enough of this doctor stuff. I need some of this good old fashioned witchcraft.
I hope that continues, and I think it will, because if anything has become very clear to the masses through this, it's, oh wait a second, you mean the more underlying conditions I have, the more at risk I am of getting sick? Like, what a novel concept, right? So I really do hope this, I mean, you know, I don't like scaring anybody into anything, but I hope this is a wake-up call for our nation to get healthy, because it's really pretty disturbing, the chronic disease statistics. And it's a very it's a choice of becoming empowered, you know, becoming an educated, empowered consumer. And if we want health, we have to demand health. So healing really comes from within.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad there's people like you on the front lines making a difference, putting, you know, putting your knowledge out there and really helping, you know, you're helping the practitioners, right? Helping them, because it has exponential growth potential. So Brendan, thank you so much for joining me today. Any last words you want to leave us with before we check out?
Honestly, I really appreciate the opportunity. It's always such a pleasure to talk to like-minded health professionals. And hey, we're all just kind of fighting the good fight and trying to get our information out there to help people. And so it's a very exciting time. And so I'm appreciative to you and, you know, what you're doing as well. So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me, Brendan. Check out Brendan Vermeer at GoMetabolicSolutionsLLC.com. Is that the good website?
Yeah, MetabolicSolutionsLLC.com is our main website. And then, you know, can check us out on Facebook, Metabolic Solutions, or Instagram, The Holistic Savage. So I'd love to connect with you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Brendan. Keep fighting the good fight. Stay on the front lines. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Eric. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. For more brain-boosting info, in-depth articles, and show notes, check out holisticnootropics.com.